Thank you very much, Jeff. I guess to begin with, there are a couple of items that I would like to call your attention to. You know, in the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi, it tells about baptism and the gate by which you should enter. And then it goes on in to the 14th chapter. Well, I guess I'll read the 14th chapter, at least part of it, and help us to kind of get our minds focused on what we're trying to say. I'll start with your verse 1 on chapter 14 on page 163. Now, my beloved brethren, I presuppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning which you should do after you have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Now, there's a lot included in this, and I'm going to preach about other things. But I wanted you to all realize that these are the things that no matter what you're told, in whatever other subject comes up, these things always apply. So as we try to apply them, we are feasting upon the words of Christ. Because remember, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. You know, it's always a puzzle to me, I guess I'll call it. We're talking about the things that have happened in our nation recently, and everybody's excited about it, and they should be. But you listen to the commentators and everybody that says something about it, and the real answer, you don't hear. Nobody mentions it. It's almost like it's taboo. And you say to yourself, well, what is the real answer? And the real answer, there's a lot of ways which you could say it, but it all comes down to one name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Our media people don't use that name. Very seldom. But what I would want you to realize at this time, before I go into the other thing, that no matter what you do, like I said, I'll say it this way, because I made it a matter of prayer here a while back, because it seemed like we ran through a time a couple of years ago that everybody was saying, boy, we have to get close to the Lord because there's a bunch of things going to happen. And there have been some things happened since then, of course. But, so I asked the Lord about that. I can't tell you how long I did, so it's not important. The important thing is that his answer, it surprised me, and yet it was so simple, it startled me. I wish it hadn't, but it did. He said, teach them to keep my commandments, and then I'll be able to work with them when I need to. So this is the thing I'd like to plant in your mind before I start to read to you these other things. You know, you've heard the story of Abinadi going into the different places. But the story that I'm going to read is one that's been, it's a prophecy, but it's been kind of simplified because it's been made by the writer who says that his soul delights in plainness. You know, we know that the Jews denied Christ and they crucified him, hung him on a tree. Can you imagine that? Hanging on a tree with nails through your hands and feet. And when you can kind of hold yourself, you can breathe all right. But when the pain begins to get to you, you get tired and your body begins to sag, the pain increases, but your ability to breathe is gone. These are the things that Christ went through to bring to us salvation. He did that. And the Jews put him to that. But I want to ask you this. We need to think this too. It's been emphasized that the Jews did that, and of course they did. But was it Joe Blow's guy walked up down the street in Jerusalem? Was he the one that did that? No. Was there leaders? They wouldn't accept Christ. They just wanted to be sure that he did. He came like they said because they had in their mind what they wanted, and that wasn't what he was. So with us now, the banner that we hold up in our nation, every time somebody says something, it seems like somebody else wants to be offended by it. And you know, here a while back, there was a sheriff out in northwestern Colorado that was talking about some of that. And there were some people that were offended, and especially because he was a public servant, he wasn't supposed to have an opinion. He couldn't say anything. And so, but he went on and said what he thought, and he needed to turn to God, and et cetera. And maybe he didn't use the same words that I'm going to. And that's all right. We all have our opinion. But brothers and sisters, don't ever be ashamed of your opinion and love for each other and for Jesus Christ and for his Father. These are things that are important. You know, we take for granted that we just pray and we just do it automatically, and we don't stop to think. Is there a regulation that we should do that? Yes, there is. Well, you say to yourself, well, when did that start? Well, I can't tell you for sure the hour that it started, but it started with the brother of Jared. He was made aware. Because when they got in the wilderness, actually at the place where he was later on going to build some barges to get across, he didn't pray for 4 years. And do you think that pleased God? No, it didn't. Fact is, it tells you that it was a sin not to pray. God wants you to ask for help, to ask for guidance, to ask for watch care, every day of every hour that you go through. These are the basic things that make a Christian. And all these other people that are saying that they're Christians, when they don't do these things, they are saying, I say it, but I don't mean it. So what I'm saying to you is, when you look in the mirror, be able to say that to yourself. that you are truly a Christian. You believe that if you're supposed to do all these things, you believe that you're supposed to be this kind of person. Other people can have their opinions. I mustn't be angry with them for having a different thought. They may be incorrect, but that's something that's between them and God. And at the same time that I tolerate what they want to say, they got to tolerate what I want to say. And I have as much right to say what I think as they do. That's the freedom of the land, or it's supposed to be. And I know that they're going away. It's being legislated and making laws that you can't do this and that and the other thing, which tries to pin it down so everybody can be put in jail, I guess. But what I want you to realize is, one other thing that I would add to this, and you'll say, well, you shouldn't get in politics. Well, I don't mean to be in politics, but I want to say this. In my book, in Christ's words, it tells you every soul is important to God. Every living soul on this earth. And it doesn't matter what color they are. Fact is, now in the scriptures, it mostly just says black and white. But now we got all kinds of colors. Now you say, well, why we got those? I don't know all the answers to all those questions, but I do know this. They all came from the same family. And we need to treat each other like we're coming from the same family. So when you begin to say things, understand that you can't get angry for what anybody says unless they try to get physical with you. Just let it go. I think this is it's going to wind up being one of the criteria that will set us apart, because we got a job to do. People want to know when you don't follow the general line of behavior with people. They want to know, how come? What's doing that? Why do you not do that? Well, there's a reason. Because Jesus said you're supposed to love each other. And loving doesn't come out and be spelled M-A-D. It isn't that way. But while we're thinking about that, I want to turn to the 24th verse of the 11th chapter of 2 Nephi to read this prophecy that is the same as another prophecy, but it's stated in the words of Nephi. And behold, it shall come to pass that after the Messiah hath risen from the dead and hath manifested himself unto his people, unto as many as will believe on his name, behold, Jerusalem shall be destroyed again for woe unto them that fight against God and the people of his church. See, the Jews wanted Messiah to be somebody different. Well, he was different, all right, but it wasn't like they wanted. And so they got upset about it. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered. Well, wait a minute. Before I finish that, I want to go back and read the third chapter of Jacob, the beginning of the chapter, to help us to know what caused them to do what they did. In verse 22, it says, "Behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness." Now, I know that's hard to understand, but that's what this says. And this is what caused them the problem. They despised the words of plainness. Now, I'm reading now from the third chapter of Jacob and verse 22. "Were stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness, and killed the prophets, and sought for things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God has taken away his plainness from them." And that's the thing that you and I are begging for, the plainness of God's word, to be able to understand where we are, what we're supposed to be doing, and what kind of person we are. "For God has taken away the plainness from them and delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand, because they desired it. And because they desired it, God hath done it, that they may stumble." So see, when you blind yourself that way, you can read something, and the meaning just goes right by you, unless that's really what you want to say. We can't let that happen to us. We need to be a humble people. But that does not mean an unfirm people. We have to be firm and steadfast. And I think it's the fourth chapter of the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, tells you that that God will confirm all of his words to those that really want to believe. Now, that's paraphrasing. It doesn't say it that way, but that's what it's saying. So we're all trying to follow this pattern. It says, "Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations." You know, and it's talking about the Jews now. It's not talking about the house of Israel. It's talking about only the Jews. "Scattered among all nations, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. And after they have been scattered, and the Lord God has scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement, which is infinite for all mankind." You know, and the thing that really strikes me about this and this precious record that we've had to add and strengthen it by putting it with our Bible, we use this to understand what kind of person we should be. It even goes into how they accept the atonement. And I had a rabbi tell me one time, because I was asking him, well, he didn't want to talk to me to start with. And after I finally, I told him, I said, well, I want to know what you believe. I don't necessarily have to agree with you, but I want to know what you believe. I'm not trying to argue with you. He said, oh, okay. So he told me. And he told me that they believe that they are royalty, that all of mankind is supposed to take care of them. But you know, God didn't really set things up that way. God said, everybody's supposed to love each other, everybody's supposed to help each other. Yeah, he did say that. But he didn't make it so there was only one person any better than another. That's what God tried to get through to all of us. And when that day shall come, that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in his name with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not forward anymore for another Messiah, then at that time the day will come that it must need be expedient that they should believe these things. And the Lord will set his hand again the second time to restore his people from their lost and fallen state. Wherefore he will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of men. Wherefore he shall bring forth his words unto you, unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah, who was rejected by them, and unto the convincing them, then they need not look forward any more for a Messiah to come. For there shall not come any, save it be a false Messiah, which should deceive the people. For there is, say, one Messiah spoken of by the prophets, and that Messiah is he which should be rejected by the Jews. For according to the words of the prophets, Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem. And according to the words of the prophets, and also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now, my brethren, I have spoken plain that ye cannot err. And as the Lord liveth, that brought Israel up out of the land of Egypt and gave unto Moses power that he should heal the nations after that they had been bitten by the poisonous serpents, if they should cast their eyes unto the serpent which he did raise up before them, and also gave him power that he should smite the rock, and the water should come forth. Yea, behold, I say unto you that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, and that's the Joseph sold into Egypt, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore, these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God. And the nation which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all that we can do. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward. And this was given at a time when the law of Moses was still in effect. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we believe in the law of Moses, rather we keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments, and we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins. Wherefore we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law, and they, by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward unto that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. And after that the law is fulfilled in Christ, that they may need not harden their hearts against him, when the law hath ought to be done away. Now behold, my people, ye are a stiff-necked people. Wherefore I have spoken plain unto you, that you cannot misunderstand. And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. And the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, for by him ye also deny the prophets and the law. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore, you must bow down before him and worship him with all your might and mind and strength and your whole soul. And if you do this, you shall in no wise be cast off. Well, I'll stop reading there on that, but I wanted you to understand what these people, what position that they were in. Because they believed in Christ then, because they understood the prophecies. The same writer will tell you that the Jews understood the prophecies, they just didn't want to believe them. So there was a manner of just rejecting the truth. We try not to do that, I'm sure. We walk according as we can to the judgments of God. You know, this land that we have, and I guess I need to say a little bit about that. This land that we have, from the time it was first known about until now, if you would look at it and accept it, if there was wickedness, the people who live here need to be a righteous people. And righteous in the sense that I ask, there is a standard of righteousness. And that standard was given by Jesus Christ. He said it to us in 100 different ways, asking us to keep his commandments. And one of the things that really strikes me in the 17th chapter of St. John, it tells us there that, you know, we think that Christ gave his life on the cross. And he did. And now it's been offered to all mankind. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to identify your sins and repent of those sins and forsake those sins and come unto me, because that's the way? And when you do, I will have mercy on you. He tells us that. And if you don't do that, he can't extend. Mercy comes short of your grasp, because you haven't come to him with a pure heart and clean hand. This is a process that you do. And that's what in the 15th chapter of St. John I'm going to read to you about, because it tells you different things that this does for you. This is Christ talking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And some people say, well, what in the world is he meaning by that? Well, don't try to be like the Jews. Don't make it more than it is. It's a simple fact. It's telling you that if you go by his guidelines, you will purge your soul and throw out a lot of the things that would be wrong. It's as simple as that. It says, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And how do you abide in him? There is a way that it happens. I'm going to make a simple statement here, and you mull it over in your mind. It is by the power of the Holy Ghost, of the Almighty, that's sent to us through Christ, because he came, that's sent to us. And that Holy Ghost helps us to feel his presence. It enters into our soul. And when it does that, he is in us. And not only is he in us, he understands us. He knows all we're thinking. He knows how we're feeling. Can you imagine that? Because I'm a human being, I don't really do that. People always say to somebody else, when they lost a loved one, I know how you feel. No, they don't. Because they don't know how that's striking him. I had a hard lesson one time. And in the learning of this lesson, I was going to bring a fellow to justice, so to speak. I was going to really labor with him and put the bee on him. And as I prayed about that, God was kind to me. He said, stop and listen to me. You don't know what's in his heart. You don't know how much he understands. You haven't understood him that well. Leave him alone. Because in his upbringing, he didn't get all the things that you did. And that, of course, was after the time that I had been to Germany, so I'd been brought face to face with a lot of things that I didn't like. And I thought everybody ought to know all about all that, but they don't. They don't understand that at all. That's like these pictures that you see of the Ukraine, how they've devastated that land. If you've ever been there, that's what's worse than those pictures. But see, people that don't know about that, haven't seen it, haven't felt it, when you talk to them, they don't relate to it the same way, so it demands patience from you as you try to talk to them to get them to understand why it is that Christ said you have to keep my commandments. This is what you have to do. Because when you do that, as you'll listen here as we go on, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That relates back to this prayer, why you should be praying all the time. Christ is telling us, you can't do anything, because even the breath that you have, I gave unto you. the life that you have, what little understanding you have. I gave that to you. Does that make you feel good with that? No, it's pretty humbling, but it's a fact. So that's what we do. We realize that we need him with us all the time. And so we ask him to do that. And he's willing. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But the thing it's not saying here, if you've gone that far and understood the Lord Jesus Christ that much, you will try really hard never to ask him for anything that he wouldn't give. We're just not going to ask him for any old thing. We're more thoughtful for ourselves than that. And that it doesn't say that here, but that's truly in the meaning. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And he's going to explain that a little bit more here in a little bit. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. And we read over in Romans that while you were still sinners, he gave his life for you. He loved you that much. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down for his life for his friends. Now we're getting into the meat of it. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, that gets right to the core of it. He's telling you that if you're working really hard to keep his commandments, you're his friend. And if you don't pay any attention to his commandments, you're not his friend. So he didn't lay down his life for you. You didn't qualify. I know that seems harsh, but at the same time, if you ever knew that you were just that close to death, and you're staring it in the face, and he jerked you out of that, that's the kind of person he is. If you cry out to him, he's there. He's always there. You're never alone if you want him to be there. So this is the thing I'd like to assure you of, brothers and sisters, that you would, as we go through these things that are coming, and how fast they're going to get to us, I'm not going to try to tell you, because I don't know. But I do know this, that if you're one of the ones that's trying to behave with all your might, like Jesus Christ asked you to, he's going to be there. And there's no need for you to worry about something getting in while he's not there, because he always is there. If you do that, he's always there. So we need to have that constant prayer to God in our hearts, that he would help you to purify your soul, And that's one of the other things, you know, there's a lot of people been through a lot more of this than I have, but I learned one lesson being in the office down here and meeting the people that come in from different places. And this man came in there one day, and he was just bound and determined, you know, we're talking about church and church structure and things like that. And finally I said, well, why don't we just stop, and if you want to talk about it, we'll just talk about Jesus Christ, because we know what we're talking about that way. And he was a little upset at first, but finally he stopped and began to talk to me about Jesus Christ. He could talk about that, and we didn't have a dime trouble with that. But at the same time we're saying that, in his church there was just a lot of things that Jesus Christ would not have and didn't put in his church. Just wasn't there. And we need to stop and think about that. We think it has to be really plain and easy for everybody to see. Brothers and sisters, it isn't. Because the devil is at work. And he makes it hard for people to understand. But with you and I, we got these manuals to go by. And that's what they are. They're manuals. Standards of right and wrong. And when Adam and Eve took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that means that everything that was evil was what you couldn't do. Everything. But nowadays we don't believe that. We can do that, it's okay. Doesn't hurt anything. Well, okay. That's kind of like somebody saying, well, I can do this and it won't bother anybody else. And then you get to talking to the guy and he has kids at home and they're doing what he's doing. Didn't hurt anybody but him, did it? See, we don't stop to realize how much we have an effect on everybody else. And we have to be careful and patient. And that's the reason why God said to love your neighbor as yourself. Then in this reading I just gave you, we're supposed to love each other and love him like he loves us. Oh, that's endless. You know, nothing that you can't find a place where it does not apply. That's what I'm saying. No matter what it is, even with Putin, if you would pray for Putin, the only thing that would really be good for him is if God would make him aware of what was right and tell him this really is what's right, and if you don't do it, you got a batch of trouble. Putin needs to know that. He doesn't. And the devil has a real strong hold on his heart. So these are the things, I guess what I'm trying to say is these are the things that we need to pray for each other for. We need to love each other enough to pray for the health and the welfare, because if we're doing this, you say, well, what is the church going to do? You know, we're going to do all these things. Yeah. But the biggest thing that we do, the biggest job that we have, is being what you would call a Christian. Like Christ said there in St. John, you're my friend if you do whatever I command you. These are the things that we work with each other about, and we have to love each other the same way. I'm probably saying things that doesn't mean a great deal to you, but it did to me when I discovered it. Years back, I didn't know what to do, and I was getting to the place where, well, maybe I start working a little bit more for the Lord, and it was about that time in life. And I decided I wanted to retire. Well, that doesn't mean to retire. In to retire, that means you go and throw your feet up and let the world go by. That isn't the way it is. That happened a little over 30 years ago. And I have been able to go to people's homes and share their family problems. And I discovered that they're really family. And just because their last name not Case, I didn't put them in a different family. They weren't, all in the boat together. We all love each other. We do. So don't be afraid to let yourself say that to yourself. I guess I won't enumerate the time, but I was sitting there one day and I suddenly realized that after I had gone into this home, I really felt like they were family, friends. I loved them. And you know that's a thing that God does because we are in Christ's family. We're His seed. It says that. His seed will believe all the things that He says. That's what we're trying to do. I hope I didn't say anything that would bore you, but I hope it will be a big help to you to realize that whatever you do at home is important to you, whether it is to anybody else. God wants you to talk to Him. I know that we all got problems, and God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want Him to. And it says that He's going to give us anything that we need. Who interprets the word of need? Yeah, it does say that. It says, I'll give you everything you need. Boy, do I need that. I'll tell you one of the things that I've discovered in reading the Word of God. I kind of refreshed my memory the other day. I was reading what happened to Abinadi, if you've all read that story. And I stopped and I looked up. And the whole room was changed. God was letting me know why Abinadi was going through what he was. And how important it was for all of us to love each other, because Abinadi, even though things he did and said to these people was just to let them know the truth, that's the most valuable thing in life almost, the truth. So let's concentrate on that, brothers and sisters. Let's let God know. We really want to know about His truth. We want to know how to be His people. We want to know and pray for like our sister June here. She's asked for prayers, and we all pray for her. And we should, because she's a precious sister. And she's in need. But God is letting her feel his presence, I'm sure. And I can't think of a bigger gift that I could pray for her than that she would feel God's presence in her life, helping her endure the things that she is enduring, just like with her husband. They're together. They're two people combined. Most of us know that. So pray for me, brothers and sisters. I can't think of a thing in my life that I've ever done that had any more pleasure, it was any bigger blessing than visiting with God's people. It's the blessing of my life. May God bless all of you.